The legend of Uncle Bernie is kind of big in our family. The legend of Uncle Bernie kind of began with our summer vacation trips to Red River, New Mexico, when our three daughters were just in elementary school. Uncle Bernie is my wife Sandy's brother. He is a few years older than me, and he's remained single all his life. So he would very often join our family, just become part of the family on our vacation trips, like I said, when the girls were small. Uncle Bernie is legendary in our family for his mountain man look, for his extensive gun collection, for his nasty Uno skills, his electronic toys, and most of all, for his incredible generosity. Twice he has given a car to our family. Back in the 80s when we were living in a mobile home and really poor and had one car and three kids, and Uncle Bernie gave us a car. It was a Nissan Sentra, and we called it the dollar car because Bernie sold it to us for $1 to avoid paying the gift tax in Kansas where he lives. There's Uncle Bernie with part of the family. It's not as bright as I'd like, but anyway, you get the idea. That's when my girls were little. They're all grown up now. Well, back to the legend that began in Red River. We were hiking in Red River when Uncle Bernie really added to his legend in a big, big way. We went up this winding switchback mountain dirt road filled with ruts and stuff to this lake high up above the little community of Red River there in New Mexico. We parked there, we hiked around, fished there in the lake, and just had a great time. And then at the end of the day, it came time to go back down that switchback road. You know how they work. They just kind of go like this all the way down the mountain. So it came time to drive back down that winding switchback road. And Uncle Bernie pipes up with, "I bet I could run down this mountain faster than you all can drive down." We laughed because while the windy, rut-filled dirt road demanded quite a bit of caution, certainly, it beat walking or running down the mountain. But he was serious. And to the delight of our three girls, Uncle Bernie takes off running as we start the minivan down the mountain. Instead of sticking to the dirt road and the switchbacks, he made a beeline. He cut right through the middle and throwing caution to the wind, ignoring the steep slope of the mountain, he went crashing through the underbrush and the trees at breakneck speed. Now, I negotiated the hairpin turns as fast as I could in the van while the girls cheered for Uncle Bernie every time they caught a glimpse of him cutting across one of those switchbacks, either right in front of us or right behind us. I was sure he had lost his mind and we'd be picking him up, taking him to the hospital after he crashed into a tree or fell down headlong down some precipice on the way. But he made it to the bottom, and there he was, sitting on a rock, grinning. A bit out of breath, but grinning when we rounded the turn. The girls were absolutely ecstatic. So when one of my daughters tells you, "My Uncle Bernie won a race down a mountain against a van," it's true. The man is legendary in our family. He was actually here last Sunday. I probably should have told it when he was here, but he would die if he knew what I was telling him. Well, I tell you that story because today's Elijah story, there's a similar incident. The prophet actually races a chariot down a mountain. And like our legendary Uncle Bernie, he wins. The stories of Elijah form the greater part of God's story. God dealing with his people, loving them, confronting them about their sin, challenging them to repent, to live holy lives. And we're part of that story. And in every one of these stories, if you look close and you read it prayerfully, you know what? You find yourself there. And you find God speaking to you, ministering to you, showing you the way. So today, in this very short Elijah story, we learn something about faith and prayer. So let's pick up the story immediately after the contest with the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Remember that? We had that last Sunday. where Elijah pulls back the curtain and reveals that Baal is not a god at all, but a fake. And the Baal prophets are then dragged off down into the valley and killed. And then after that's all over, after the judgment, then Elijah turns and he speaks to King Ahab with these instructions. And so we pick up with 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Elijah makes this promise of rain. He looks at Ahab, and remember now, there's been a 3-year drought here. And he says, "There's the sound of a heavy rain. Go eat and drink." He's telling Ahab to celebrate the end of the drought before it actually has occurred. He knows that rain is coming, and that this rain will not be mistaken for the blessing of Baal, who's been proven false. Everyone will know, without a doubt, that this life-giving rain is from the God of Israel. In Scripture, rain is sometimes used as a symbol of God's blessing. Ezekiel 34:26, the prophet says, "I'll bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I'll send down showers in season." There will be showers of blessing. Remember that old hymn? There will be showers of blessing. We know something about droughts here in Central Texas. We're kind of in the middle of one right now. And wasn't it good last week that rain, it was a Wednesday, finally came down? God's rain brings life to the earth. I mean, literally. And God's blessing brings life to our souls. So while Ahab goes off to have a party, Elijah, he's got other things to do. He's got other ideas. So he comes back up the mountain and he begins to pray. So when the text says this weird little phrase, he bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees, I think it's just the picture of a man deep in prayer. The contest with the prophets of Baal had been a mighty victory. God had demonstrated through 3 years of drought that Baal could not produce rain, and the contest on Mount Carmel proved that Baal could not produce fire. The pagan god who rode on the clouds and sent rain and thunder and lightning was proven to be a fake. God had shown His mighty power through the fire that had fallen and consumed Elijah's sacrifice and the altar, and even the dirt and the water around the altar. And now Elijah anticipated that God was going to show His power by sending rain on the people, renewing life in Israel. Remember Elijah's prayer before the fire came down. When he gathered the people around and before he asked God to send the fire, he says, this is part of his prayer, he says, "Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know You, will know that You, O Lord, are God, and that You are turning Your hearts back again." That's a key part of this whole passage. When judgment does its intended work of prompting repentance and bringing people back to God, it's followed by God's blessing. The destructive waters of the flood in Noah's day were followed by the blessing of new life blooming and a family multiplying to fill the earth again. The 40 years of dwelling in the wilderness was followed by the blessing of a new generation entering the promised land. The judgment of captivity in Babylon was followed by the blessing of a restored nation. The judgment of God poured out on the cross of Christ for the sins of the world was followed by the blessing of resurrection. Judgment was done. Blessing was on the way. That's how God works. So seven times Elijah sent his servant to look for rain. He was determined to keep looking for the promise of God, for the blessing of God to come, to be fulfilled. So he kept praying and hoping and believing that God was indeed going to send rain on the people. Now, from the perspective of knowing the end of the story, maybe it doesn't sound quite so amazing. But from the servant's perspective, the servant of Elijah, it must have seemed incredible that Elijah thought now suddenly it was going to rain. Remember, there had been no rain for 3 years. After 3 years, people must have lost hope that there would ever be rain again. 3 years of the weatherman saying, 40% chance of rain today, only to be disappointed again. Nothing. So I cannot imagine that anyone really thought it was going to rain on that cloudless day. But there's Elijah on the mountain, on his knees, praying, sending his servant to look for the answer. Seven times. Go back and look again. Go back and look again. Now, that means the first six times, this servant guy, I kind of feel sorry for the guy, really. This poor servant guy climbs up to the top, looks out, nothing. First six times, nothing. No sign of rain, not a cloud in the sky, not even a whiff of moisture in the air. If you think about it, it's almost comical. The servant climbs the last bluff of the mountain, looks out over the Mediterranean Sea, and sees nothing. Climbs down, reports to Elijah. No rain, no clouds. Go look again. So the dutiful servant makes his climb back up to the very top, only to see nothing again. Reports back, still nothing. Elijah, his head still bowed, doesn't even look up. Go look now, he orders. I wonder if about the third or fourth time the servant really wanted to suggest, could I just stay up there on the peak until something actually starts to happen and then come down? But the point is, Elijah never loses hope. He perseveres in prayer. He keeps looking for the blessing of God to come. Do you pray like that? Do you pray for someone that you love to come back to the Lord? And then, like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, do you watch daily, expectantly, for the return? Do you pray for a new job opportunity and then send the resume over and over, looking for the blessing of an open door? Do you pray with faith that God answers and that blessings are on the way? What if after the fifth or sixth time of going up to the top of the mountain, looking out over the sea and seeing nothing, Elijah's servant had said, "That's it, Elijah, I give up. It's not going to happen." He would have missed the incredible blessing. He would not have been the first one to see the beginning of God's blessing on the way. So, here's one thing we learn about prayer in this little story of Elijah. Never, never, never stop praying and looking for God's blessing. His blessing is on the way. It's always on the way. For those who turn back to Him, which was the prayer Elijah prayed for the people, for those who humble themselves before Him, for those who put their faith in Christ alone, God's blessing is coming. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may lift you up in due time. Now, it was a very insignificant cloud rising over the sea. It was as small as a man's hand. Of course, we know that from a great distance, things can look much smaller than they really are. I don't know if that was true here or not, but I wonder if the servant was thinking, so that's it? That pitiful little cloud is going to soak the fields, revive the crops, and provide a harvest? That little cloud is the answer to the prophet's prayer for rain? I mean, come on. Second thing we learn about prayer and God's blessings, God's answers. Fulfillment may start very small, an insignificant cloud in the distance. A baby in a manger. A boy with five small loaves and two small fish. The first day of sobriety. The first day of chemo. The first visit to the marriage counselor. A job interview. The first visit to a church. The first day without shedding a tear of grief. The first month that the financial debt of the family goes down instead of up. The moment you realize, yes, I do need to forgive, and in the power of Christ I can. And the moment you first realize, I need God's grace and mercy. I need forgiveness myself. The blessing at first may appear to be distant, small, insignificant. But do not discount what God is about to do and what He wants to do in you and He wants you to do. That small, significant, insignificant cloud was all that Elijah needed to send his servant to tell Ahab, "Mount up and ride, a storm is coming." Elijah acted upon the small, seemingly insignificant answer to his prayer, believing that the complete answer was soon to follow. So the last verse there, 47, it says, "And the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he ran." He began racing the chariot down the mountain. And then it came, the gully washer of all gully washers, the thunder boomer of all thunder boomers. God delivered what Baal could never deliver. Life-giving rain, blessings poured down from the heavens. And the blessings of God, they're more than good. They're more than sufficient. They're more than okay. His blessings come in epic proportions. The story says, it wasn't just a good rain. It was a heavy rain. Malachi 3:10. The Lord says to His people, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in My house. Test Me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Sometimes we have dry spells. Sometimes life gets difficult, very, very difficult. God may even use a dry spell, so to speak, to get our attention and sometimes to bring correction, to bring discipline, a bit of judgment. But after the judgment has done its work and after it has humbled us before our God, the drenching rain, the downpour of blessing is coming. Elijah was running, and it starts pouring down rain. And I like to picture Elijah running and singing in the rain. God's surprising downpour of blessing will make you sing too. But you must remember, never, never, never stop looking for the showers of blessing on the way. As dry as your soul may feel, may be today, God has not forgotten you. His blessings are coming. Don't discount the small beginning of a blessing. A smattering of sprinkles can quickly turn into a flood so great that you cannot contain it.
And then in the end, it's not really mostly about God's judgment bringing us to repentance or God's blessing that follows. It's about God turning your heart back. It's about knowing God and God knowing you. So whatever happens in this life, whatever troubles and struggles that we have in this world, the blessings, the flood of blessings will last for an eternity. And knowing His blessings are coming, in His power that comes upon you, through faith in Christ, like Uncle Bernie crashing through the mountain descent, like Elijah racing the chariot, you too must run. Like the Apostle Paul said, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. That's what we do. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, what a beautiful story of how you worked in Elijah and through Elijah. What a great story of his perseverance in prayer, of his faith that kept him always looking for the blessing. And we give thanks, Lord God, that your blessing doesn't stop with Elijah, but continues on for your people. I pray for those here today who've begun to perhaps grow a little weary looking for the blessing that they've hoped for, prayed for, wanted so much. They've grown a little weary like the servant who kept climbing up the mountain again only to see nothing. Give those people here today a renewed strength to continue to pray, to continue to trust and believe and look for the shower of blessings that's on the way. And give us courage and strength to run the race, to live well in your grace. In Christ we pray. Amen.